भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणकृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
In the 12th chapter today, the 12th chapter is entitled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. It's a little short chapter, but every chapter is very special, but this chapter is nonsense very special in the sense Krishna will speak out his the heart in this chapter. Krishna will speak out what is actually deep within his heart about the glorification of his about the glorification of the Rajavasis in this particular chapter. So we'll start with the first verse. So as you remember, I think last time I told that Krishna speaks about the path of pure devotional service from the 11th chapter, from the verse number 18 till the 12th chapter, verse number 15. The previous chapter from the verse number 18, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato, from that onwards till the next chapter, 15th verse, Krishna speaks about the path of pure devotional service. He is continuing the same theme here. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Narodayati Mam Yogo Na Sankhyam Dharma Mevacha Na Swadhyayas Tapasthyago Neshta Purtam Na Dakshina Vratani Yajnas Chandamsi Tirtani Niyamayama Yatavarunde Satsanga Sarva Sangha Pahohimam.
Supreme Prasad of Lord and Sir, my dear, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform the Ashtanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice non-violence under ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances and dig wells, plant trees and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one doesn't bring me under his control.
So here Krishna is giving a list of other processes, and then he is saying that I am not controlled by a person who is practicing any of these other processes. So he is mentioning the process of Ashtanga Yoga, or the analytical study of the difference between the body and the soul, or the different pious activities, the chanting of the Vedic mantras, austerities, performing some general pious activities like digging wells, etc. Like many times actually, many times in the Bhagavatam, when it comes to pious activities, many times the example of digging well is actually given. So if you see that, sometimes the present context may not be able to understand, but digging well is considered a pious activity. Like actually now in Bombay they are actually closing all the wells, but actually traditionally speaking, even scientifically also, that we are actually drawing water from the air, but then there has to be some open source where the water is actually getting accumulated. Now, practically all the wells are closed, but you are only drawing the water. So this is actually a very artificial situation. So in the Vedic culture, like those who actually dig wells, or those who dig some ponds or lakes, etc., there it's considered very pious activity, because that is like there water will be stored, and then that will be helpful for the whole village or the place where the people are staying. So neshta purtam, that means digging, pious activities like digging wells or planting trees or other public welfare activities, or performing different vows, vratani, or sacrifices to worship the demigods, going to holy places and practicing the major or minor regulative principles, niyama and yama. So Krishna is saying that I do not come under the control of a person who is practicing any of these processes. On the other hand, I am controlled only by the practice of bhakti. So here, because the acharyas give two meanings, yatha avarunde. Yata means the word yatha can have two meanings. One meaning what Krishna says is that I am not controlled by a person who practices any of these processes, and I am controlled only by bhakti. This is the one meaning. And the second meaning is that I am not controlled. Go to the office, the devotee is there. The second meaning is that I do not come under the control of a person who is practicing any of these processes as much as I come under the control of a person who is practicing bhakti. The second meaning, the minor difference is that Vishnachakataka, they say that even when a person is practicing any of these other processes, as we mentioned many times previously, in order to attain success, there has to be a tinge of bhakti. In that sense, even when a person is practicing those processes, because of the slight touch of bhakti, they can also bring the Supreme Lord under control, but only to a small degree. So in that sense, when Krishna is saying, the second meaning of the word yatha means as much as. Because yoga and other processes are mixed with some bhakti, they also control the Lord to a small degree. So, but those methods do not control me as much as association of devotees. Here especially using the association of devotees. Because actually bhakti, the person starts practicing bhakti by association of devotees. This is the meaning given by some authorities. In this way, there are two meanings of the word yatha, by that we can understand. And another thing is that Krishna Chakotav writes a beautiful point. He says, yatha avarunde satsanga sarva sangha pahohima. Satsanga means association of devotees. So, Krishna is using the present tense instead of the future tense. But usually, when a person gets the association of devotees, then a person starts practicing bhakti. After that, a person starts practicing bhakti. It means Krishna will come under the, ideally speaking, Krishna should say, I will come under the control of a person who has got the association of devotees. Because if he gets the association of devotees, then he will start practicing bhakti. So then Krishna should say that I will be controlled by a person who has got association of devotees. But instead of using the future tense, Krishna is using the present tense. I am controlled by a person who has got the association of devotees. So why does he say the present tense? Because that even before the appearance of bhakti, Lord is saying I will be controlled simply by a person who has got the association of devotees. It's not that he has to start practicing bhakti. Even before he starts practicing bhakti, just the fact that he has got the association of devotees, I am controlled by a person who has got the association of devotees. So therefore, he is using a kaimuttika nyaya. If I am controlled by a person who has got the association of devotees, then what to speak of the effect after bhakti has made its appearance? Even before the bhakti has made its appearance, if I am controlled by such a person, then what to speak of after the bhakti has made its appearance, how much more I will be conquered by that person. This is an additional insight Vishnachakatavar is giving. And he also says, na rodayati. Rodayati means does not control. So the word rodayati is a verb, but it has to be applied for each of the words. I am not controlled by the process of Ashtang Yoga. I am not controlled by the process of by a person who is practicing, who is actually making an analytical discrimination between matter and spirit. I do not come under the control of a person who is practicing the general dharma. So like that. So Hridayananda Maharaj writes a very long purport. It's a very beautiful purport. I'll just highlight some of the points in the, from the purport. So Jiva Goswami on these two verses, he is saying, one may serve the devotees of the Lord through ceremonial worship or by actually associating with them. Association with pure devotees, so he mentions the path of pure devotional service, it appears mysterious to the conditioned souls. Because the reason is that pure devotional service is transcendental to the modes of nature and becomes mysterious to a person who is under the three modes of nature. And then, so he is, see the primary process, the central process is the process of bhakti, which is indicated by the word satsanga, association of devotees. All the other processes are auxiliary processes, secondary. But Hridayan Maharaj is saying, he is mentioning that how much of the secondary activities can please the Lord. He says that these secondary activities, they serve to attract people to the temples of Krishna, where they may directly engage in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Like such construction projects, like digging well, etc., may be understood as purtam or public welfare activities. So his point is that these secondary activities help a person to come to the come in contact with the primary activities. And then of course the word meaning of the word yatha, which I mentioned at the beginning of the class, that Hridayan Maharaj says. And then he, like when he explains the word vrata, like vrata means observing, especially like some fasting. So he says, does Krishna indicate Ekadashi by the word vrata? Ekadashi is also included. Like if Ekadashi is indicated by the word vrata, then one may say, then this verse means, that means like, I am not controlled by the observance of Ekadashi, but I am controlled by the practice of satsanga, or associating with the devotee, the practice of bhakti. So he says, the word vrata here, Ekadashi does not come under the category of vrata. Here he means by vrata as general fasting. Sometimes people fast for different demigods or certain auspices. He says in the case of Ekadashi, that is he says one should, Ekadashi is like the main process of devotional service itself. Ekadashi comes under the category Anga of Bhakti, so we cannot put Ekadashi in the, under the category of Vrata. So by Vrata he indicates like sometimes people observe Vratas for different demigods, etc. That's what he means here. Otherwise Ekadashi it is called as the mother of Bhakti. Madhavatiti Jatani Palani. So that he clarifies here. And then Hridayan Maharaj reads that one should not give up the secondary processes because they can also help a person. It should, he says that there are many Vedic injunctions instructing one to execute the Agnihotra sacrifice, and the modern day followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also occasionally execute fire sacrifices, and therefore it should not be given up by the, and Krishna had also, if you remember in the previous chapter when we discussed, that Krishna had mentioned 11 places in which like one should worship him. One of the is this thing, fire. So Hridayan Maharaj is saying the previous chapter Krishna had actually instructed us to actually worship him in the fire. So therefore he says they should not be given up by the devotees of the Lord. By performing Vedic ritualistic and purificatory processes, one is gradually elevated to the platform of devotional service. And his theme of the purport is that secondary principles help a person to follow the primary principles. And another important thing he mentions is, in regards to the secondary activities, he says, one should choose those secondary activities which do not conflict with the devotional service. Which do not conflict with the devotional service. So that is important. And he is giving the example of like Bhishma Dev when he instructed Yudhishthira Maharaj. Bhishma Dev, not only he instructed the Moksha Dharma, which is like ultimately the process of devotional service, he also instructed Raja Dharma, Sri Dharma, so many other dharmas. Because the reason is that Yudhishthira Maharaj especially, as a king, he is supposed to know all these things. He is supposed to make sure that everyone is practicing the dharma. In that sense, it was necessary for him, necessary for his devotional service. But then in the case of others, for one who is not rendering such prescribed devotional service in the society, should not unnecessarily involve himself in the material world, even by the practice of Vedic rituals. Nothing should distract him from the ultimate goal of satisfying Krishna. Again, he mentions the example of Ambarish Maharaj for the who practiced strictly Ekadashi Vrata. He says in the case of Vrata, Ekadashi, one should not include Ekadashi, one should include in the item of Bhakti and not in the category of Vrata, because Ambarish Maharaj as a devotee practiced Ekadashi strictly. So like that. And then finally he mentions that finally gives a beautiful quote, this very important last line of the purport. Because this verse is saying, Krishna is saying that I am controlled by a person who has got the association of devotees. So Hridayan Maharaj quotes Madhvacharya and says, but on the other hand, if a person offends the devotees, Krishna personally places barriers in the path of such a person so that he may not enter into the Lord's company. So he is just giving this warning. So now in the next 3 to 6 verses, the next 4 verses, Krishna is giving many examples. All these examples, and the common thing is that all these examples, from a material point of view, they were not like some of them are animals or demons or simple housewives. They were not somebody who is like in a position like a king or brahmana, etc. Material point of view, they were in a simple position. But all of these people, because of getting the association of devotees, they attained perfection. So he has given the concept in the first 2 verses, and he is giving the examples in the 3 to 6 verse. Read the translation, 3 to 6.
In every yuga, many living entities entangled in the modes of passion and ignorance gain the association of my devotees. Thus, such living entities as the daityas, rakshasas, birds, beasts, gandharvas, apsaras, nagas, siddhas, charanas, guhyakas, and vidyagaras, as well as such lower class human beings as the Vaishyas, Shudras, women and others, were able to achieve my supreme approach. Vritasur, Prahlad Maharaj and others like them also achieved my approach by association with my devotees. As did personalities such as Vrishaparva, Bali Maharaj, Banasur, Maya, Vibhishan, Sugriva, Hanuman, Jambavan, Gajendra, Chatayu, Tulagara, Dharma Vyada, Kubja, the gopis in Vrindavan, and the wives of the Brahmanas, who were performing sacrifices.
So, so many examples are given. So, 4 verses show how the association of devotees bring the Lord under their control. Like either secondarily or significantly, in the sense that like some of these examples, they may not be like some of the examples are like very pure, highly elevated devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, the gopis, the Brahmana Patnis, Hanumanji, etc. But some of the other examples, they got the association of devotees, but it's not that they became like very highly elevated devotees, but because of getting the association of devotees, they became favorable. They got the favor of the Supreme Lord. Like some of the examples like Banasur. Is not somebody. He was a demon previously, the son of Bali Maharaj. But because of getting the association of Lord Shiva and later the association of Lord Krishna, he got the mercy and then he became more favorable, he became pious. So some of the examples are like very highly elevated pure devotees. Some of the examples, because they may be secondarily accepted association of devotees and then they got more elevated. That's what Vishnu Chakotaku says. He says that there are persons with mixed bhakti and pure bhakti. Some examples are of pure bhakti, some are mixed bhakti. By association with persons with mixed bhakti, some persons brought the Lord under control in a secondary way. And by association with persons with pure bhakti, some persons brought the Lord under control significantly. So different examples can come in different categories. So then, so Hridayan Maharaj, basically what he writes in the purport is that he gives all these examples whom they associated with, which devotee they associated with. So the second paragraph he gives the story of the different demons who are mentioned. Vritrasur, he got the association of whom? Narada Muni and Angira Muni. By that he attained perfection. And Prahlad Maharaj, and then later got the association of Lord Sankarshan. Prahlad Maharaj got the association of Narada Muni. So like that, all these examples are given. And Vrishaparva, anybody knows which devotee got association? Vrishaparva is well known in the Puranas as a devotee of Vishnu, who gave up his mother as soon as he was born and was raised by sages. The names of the sages were not mentioned. He got the association of sages. Bali Maharaj, he got the association of?
Prahlad
Maharaj. He got the association of Prahlad Maharaj. And Banasur, he got the association of?
Lord Shiva.
And
Bali Maharaj.
Bali Maharaj, because he is the son of Bali Maharaj, and also he got the association of Krishna, the fight between with Krishna. And like that, Vibhishan got the association of Hanumanji. Sugriva, Hanuman and Jambavan got the association of Lakshman. Gajendra got the association of Narada Muni in his previous life. That's what Krishna Chakotaku says. Jatayu, like that. All the examples are given. You can go through those examples.
Who is
Vrishaparva? Vrishaparva. I do not know the name is mentioned. But, Dharma Vyada. You remember that Govind Prabhu spoke that story of Dharma Vyada is a non-violent hunter. That's why Dhyan Maharaj writes. His story is mentioned in the Varaha Puran. Yeah, can you remember the exact story? I'm not remember the exact details. One Brahmana committed a mistake. He went to beg some charity from a. You remember the exact story? This Brahmana, I think previously he saw the crow and then crow actually fell down dead. And then when he was actually denied, when he had to wait for that alms from that wife, he became angry, and he felt that by his anger he'll be able to burn that wife. But that wife said, "I will not. Same thing will not happen as what you did to the crew." Because, and first he was surprised, like how did she actually know about that?
So when we are engaged in our own occupational duty, nobody can do anything. So that's why he directed to butcher. Though he was engaged in that butchering job, still he was so perfect in his occupational duty. So in that context, Govind Prabhu was mentioned.
Yeah, that Brahmana was told to actually take instructions from this hunter. So the hunter, that his name is called as Dharmavyad. So his occupation was actually hunter, killing, butchering animals, but still he was actually very highly realized in the spiritual knowledge. So in that sense, all these examples you'll see, the common thread is that either some of them are demons, or some of them are like animals, or some of them were, like in the case of Dharmavyad, his occupational duty was something not something which people would look up to. But still, all these people, because of getting association of some devotees, they had achieved perfection.
One of the
story of Dharmavyad, in the last life, he was a very pious and spiritually advanced Brahmana who worshipped the Shaligram Shiva. But then, once he made a mistake, that a cow was running for her life. And the one person was chasing that cow. And the person asked, the cow ran in one direction and hid. And that person was trying to kill the cow. He asked this Brahmana, where did the cow go? And he, since he was Brahmana, he was truthful. He guided the killer to the cow. So he got that that sin of Govatya. And he had to become this butcher. But then, while weighing the meat, he used to use that same Shaligram Shiva. And then this story, I think I heard from Govind Prabhu. So one Brahmana came, he was very angry, why he had written Shaligram for such a simple act. So he gave that Shaligram to that Brahman, but the Shaligram returned back to this.
Shaligram appeared in the dream of the Brahmana. Why did you bring me? From the butcher's son, he was worshipping me. I don't like your worship. Return me back to the butcher. So he got a problem.
Anyway, you will appear sometimes.
There is a beautiful story in Alwar also. When Tirumali say Alwar, he was not a devotee, nothing. He was just born. I'm just cutting it very brief, but this gives a lot of faith, when we have to follow our Swadharma Kate. Like this person, he studied all the religions and everything. He was not a devotee. Then he became Lord Shiva devotee, Tirumai Seyalvar. When he became Lord Shiva devotee, then the other Alvars, they were looking at him, up to him. He was so sincere, he's so wonderful. Why can't he become Vishnu devotee, Vishnu? So one of the Alvars took the responsibility to preach this Tirumai Seyalvar. His name was before something. Then he got convinced because he studied everything very properly, systematically. He understood the science. Then he became a Vaishnava. When he became a Vaishnava, once he was completely in religion. Then Lord Shiva along with Parvati, they were going above, They wanted to test his faith. He was my devotee before. Now he has become a Vaishnava. So Lord Shiva, he opened his third eye. And he was... Lord Shiva was controlling him by his shadow, Then this Arva, he was so engrossed in his bhajana, this thing. He was not disturbed. He understood that Lord Shiva is this thing, inciting me and all. But this Arva, he opened his third eye with this toe or something. And then he replied to Lord Shiva, And now I've understood, that story I will just bring one day. Then Lord Shiva then left him and went, and then he blessed him in fact. Okay, now you have become a Vaishnava, or continue your... So like when we are convinced and when we are doing it, and then nobody can disturb our...
Yeah, next to us.
That butcher is highly realized soul. how can they continue with that kind of profession? We should give up that profession.
You see that like sometimes a person's, according to his past karma, sometimes a person's heart may not be into that, but on a practical level he may be sometimes a person's option, he is not choosing that option, but his option is actually imposed upon him. Sometimes you see some people may not want to take a particular occupation, but that option is actually imposed upon them. This is in the case of Dhritarashtra also. Dhritarashtra, from his heart, he is like a pure devotee. He is a pure devotee. But his body was engaged in the service of the demons. His heart was given to Vishnu, but his body was engaged in the service of the demons. The same case with Bhishma Dev or Akrura. So this is called what is called as a divided self. Divided self means, like suppose you are going cycle. So you want to drive the cycle in the right side, but you are turning, but the right cycle is going only in the left side. In a sense, a person, his heart is with Krishna, but then because of certain past karma, certain this one, his body was engaged in this one. So that is not the ideal example. Ideal example is body, mind and words, all are engaged in the service of the Lord. But the most important is that one's heart should be given to Krishna, that is the most important thing. But the better than that is not only the heart, even the body and the words, everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. So in the sense, like the key, the point is here is that how all these people, they actually attained, by association they attained their perfection. The gopis examples are given because especially it refers to the, like, some of the gopis who are actually the previously the rishis, because of the association with other devotees they became the gopis, and then they further got the association of Nitya Siddha gopis, and then they attained perfection. So in that way the gopis examples are given. Having had ample association with devotees, they became gopis in Vrindavan, and then associated with the Nitya Siddha gopis who had descended there, and then they also had association of Tulasi Devi and Vrinda Devi, and then they attained perfection. The Brahmana Patnis, they got association of those people who were coming from Vrindavan to sell betel nuts, etc. So next verse. तेनाधीतः श्रुतिगणा नोपासितमहत्तमा अव्रता तप्त तपस मत्संगान मामुपागता.
The persons I have mentioned did not undergo serious studies of Vedic literature, nor did they worship great saintly persons, nor did they execute severe vows of austerity. Simply by association with me and my devotees, they achieved me.
So, it's again actually emphasizing Matsangat. The word Matsangat means either by associating with me or with my devotees. Because Krishna considers his devotees to be non different from him. So, the word Mat can actually also refer to his devotees. Or in some versions, the word is like instead of Matsangat, Satsangat is there. So, basically, is again emphasizing the same point that they did not undergo any of these other processes. Only by association with me or my devotees they actually achieved. So next verse.
Kevalena hi bhavena gopyo gava naga mruga yenye mudadiyo naga siddha mam iyu ranjasa.
The inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the gopis, cows, unmoving creatures, such as the twin Arjun trees, animals, living kitties, with stunted consciousness, such as bushes and thickets, and snakes such as Kaliya, all achieved perfection of life by unalloyed love for me, and thus very easily achieved me.
So Krishna has mentioned so many examples in those four verses. Now he is actually specifically glorifying the residents of Vrindavan because they are the most special. And he is giving examples for the each of the different rasa. So he is giving the example of gopis for Madhurya ras and the cows for the Vatsalya ras. And he is saying the mountains like Govardhan, they were in Sakya ras with Krishna. That is mentioned in the purport. And the plants and trees and different creepers, they were in the mood of Dasya ras with Krishna. So these are the, because they are the most special among the devotees, so Krishna is actually mentioning them. And especially the word kevalaina hi bhavena. Kevalaina hi bhavena means they did not know anything but Krishna. He says that inhabitants of Vrindavan did not know anything but Krishna, and their whole purpose in life was simply to love Krishna. So that is the meaning of the word kevalaina hi bhavena. And is how Balramji glorifies the trees of Vrindavan. So Krishna Chakutang says that the Lord has not bothered to mention in this verse those who achieved perfection through mixed processes, but rather glorifies the unalloyed devotees of Vrindavan headed by the gopis who knew nothing but Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan were so satisfied in their relationships with Krishna that they did not pollute their loving service with mental speculation or fruitive desires. So Vishnu Chakotaku says the inhabitants of Vrindavan should be considered eternally liberated souls as expressed by the word Siddha, which means having achieved the perfection of life. So now he has, so in this verse he has mentioned the residents of Vrindavan, many examples from the residents of Vrindavan. So now in the ninth verse, he will actually further come to the, so in the ninth verse, he says, the cause of pure devotional service is again saying, is association with the devotees and not with any other acts. Or in the ninth verse, Krishna is, or in other words, or the connection between the eighth and ninth verse is that Krishna is explaining how it is very difficult for one to achieve his personal association, even for a person who endeavors to reach the absolute truth. He's again actually repeatedly mentioning the causes only by associate, cause of pure devotional service, association with devotees, or for a person who is even endeavoring to attain the absolute truth by other processes, it's very difficult for a person to attain me. Yamna yogena sankena dana vratatapodvarai vyakya svadhyaya sanyasai prapnuyat yatna vanapi.
Even though one engages with great endeavor in the maitric yoga system, philosophical speculation, charity, vows, finances, ritualistic sacrifices, teaching of Vedic mantras to others, personal study of the Vedas or the renounced order of life, still one cannot achieve me.
So Hridayan Maharaj says, when we talk about satsanga, what is the definition of satsanga? He says, the word sat means one who is favorably engaged in the service of Krishna. Association of such a person is called as satsanga. And that can award devotional service to the Lord. So he's explaining the different yamna, yogena, sankhyena, dana, vrata, tapo, advarai. All these, like chanting the Vedic mantras and learning Sanskrit. Chandrayana means fasting during the waxing of the moon. Similarly, there are painstaking ritualistic sacrifices like that. So he is explaining that. Now from the 10th to 13th verse, the four verses, Krishna explains the love of the gopis as the most outstanding. So Vishnu Chakotaku writes in one purport in these verses. He says that Krishna had so far kept deep hidden in his heart about the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. And for the first time, he is actually openly telling about the, he is glorifying the love of the gopis of Vrindavan in these verses. The 10th to 13th, he is especially dedicating how the love of the gopis is the most outstanding. 10th verse.
Ramena sardam maturam pranite shvapalkina mai anurakta chitta migada bhavena name viyoga tivrada yonyam dadrushu sukaya.
The residents of Vrindavan, headed by the gopis, were always completely attached to me with deepest love. Therefore, when along with my brother Balram, I was brought to the city of Mathura by my uncle Akira, the residents of Vrindavan suffered extreme mental distress because of separation from me and could not find any other source of happiness.
So here he is telling that how when Krishna, he had actually, Shvapalka refers to Akrura, when Akrura took him to Mathura, the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, they were so attached to me that they could not attain any happiness from anything else. So usually you see in this world, so you say out of sight, out of mind. But in the case of the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna was out of sight, but in their mind Krishna, like they were more intensely remembering Krishna in their mind. So the definition of lust is that out of sight, out of mind. The definition of love is that out of sight, but actually the feelings increases. So thus there Krishna consciousness is considered the highest perfectional stage of life. Anyone desiring the true happiness must take to the devotional service in the spirit of the gopis, giving up everything for the pleasure of Supreme Lord. So here another one small detail which Vishnu Chakrabarti mentions is that Krishna is using the past tense while speaking this verse. The verb is that the gopis were here. They could not, when my uncle Akrura brought my brother Balram and me to the city of Mathura, they were suffering the extreme mental distress because of the separation from me, and they could not find any other source of happiness. The gopis were always completely attached to me with the deepest love. So he was saying, he's mentioning that gopis were in great sorrow in separation from me. So in one sense, why he is using the past tense, by that what he is saying is that, it's indicating that after the killing of Dantavakra, after the killing of Dantavakra, Krishna went back to Vrindavan and then there he actually united with the gopis and then he took all the residents of Vrindavan back to the spiritual world. Krishna ended their suffering after the killing of Dantavakra. So that's why he is using the past tense. But if we see in the Krishna, if we read in the 10th canto Bhagavatam, the killing of Dantavakra comes in the 78th chapter, I guess. 78 or 79. Killing of, I think, Shalya and Dantavakra. So Shalya, Krishna killed in the outskirts of Dwarka. And then he heard that Dantavakra is also attacking Mathura. And immediately came to Mathura. And he killed Dantavakra in the outskirts of Mathura. And after killing Dantavakra in the outskirts of Mathura, he went to Vrindavan. So, but this pastime is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami only mentions the killing of Dantavakra, but not Krishna going to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra. You will not find this mentioned. But yeah, you will find that this is mentioned in the Padma Puran Uttarakhand. And Shukadeva Goswami knew this pastime of Krishna entering Vrindavan after the killing of Dantavakra. But still he does not mention that pastime because Vishnu Chakrabarti writes in the purport because Shukadeva Goswami, he was thinking about Parishit Maharaj. He was thinking that if Parikshit Maharaj hears this pastime, that Krishna went back to Vrindavan and then he sent all the residents of Vrindavan in their selfsame bodies to the spiritual world, then Parikshit Maharaj would think, because Parikshit Maharaj is a devotee who is more attached to the Yadus than the Vrajavasis. So Parikshit Maharaj may get a doubt, why is Krishna, because in future he will be narrating about the Yadus going back to the spiritual world. Yadus, how they actually killed each other in a patricidal war, and then they also entered the spiritual world only. But externally, Krishna did not send them in the selfsame bodies. So Shukadeva Goswami knew that if I narrate this pastime, and Parikshit Maharaj in future when I narrate the annihilation of Yadu dynasty, Parikshit Maharaj will get a doubt that why is so Krishna partial? Why did he actually deal with the Yadus in that manner and not with Vajivasis in this manner? So Parikshit Maharaj did not unnecessarily want to create some doubt, and Shukadeva Goswami did not unnecessarily want to create some doubt in the mind of Parikshit Maharaj. So therefore, he was actually avoided that pastime. So we can see actually how Shukadeva Goswami was very sensitive, that although he knew that pastime, he avoided that just to actually protect the, he was concerned with the faith of Parikshit Maharaj. He has to, he should not get some doubt at the end of his life. So, but this pastime is there in the Padma Puran, Vishnu Chakradhar mentions it. So that's why the past tense is used in this verse, because Krishna ended the suffering of the gopis after the killing of Dantavakra and by meeting with them. So next verse, Krishna explains the outstanding quality of their Rudra Bhava. Outstanding quality of their, I'll explain what is Rudra Bhava. Outstanding quality of their love. He explains in the next verse. Tastakshapa preshta tamena nita mayaiva vrindavana gocharena kshanardavatta punarangata sam hina maya kalpa samabhubhu.
Dear Uddhava, all of those nights that the gopis spent with me, their most dearly beloved, in the land of Vrindavana, seemed to them to pass in less than a moment. Rest of my association, however, the gopis felt that those same nights dragged on forever, as if each night were equal to a day of Brahma.
So it is said that the Rudra Bhava, when a person comes to the stage of prema, where is something very high stage, but just know the technical details. So Vishnu Chakradhar says that there are 7 stages in the stage of prema. So he mentions the first is prema, and then after prema comes pranaya, sneha, raga, mana, anuraga, and mahabhava. So this Rupa Goswami explains in the Ujjwala Nilaman. 7 stages in the prema. So the Rudra Bhava represents the stage of anuraga. Rudra Bhava represents the stage of anuraga. So in the stage of Rudra Bhava, what exactly happens is that in the association with Krishna, like Krishna performed Ras Leela with the gopis for a duration of one day of Brahma, for the whole night of Brahma, we can say. So that is the huge number of years, if you calculate the 12 hours multiplied, one kalpa, 1000 multiplied, 1000 Divya Yugas. But in the association of Krishna, that one kalpa appeared like 1 second. And in separation from Krishna, 1 second appears like 1 day of Brahma. This is the feeling they get at the stage of Rudra Bhava. The characteristic of Rudra Bhava, or the stage of Anuraga, the sixth stage of prema, is that in the union a person feels one day of Brahma to be one moment, in separation one moment appears like one day of Brahma. So that is what is explained in this verse. The seventh state of this verse shows the outstanding quality of Rudra Bhava, which is a type of Mahabhava. The seventh state of prema, which is Mahabhava, is defined as Kalpasya Kshanata Yogi Viyogi Tad Viparyaya. Actually, there is a characteristic of the seventh stage of prema, that is Mahabhava. That one moment appears like one day, like that. So, Krishna is explaining in this particular verse. This is which was 11th verse, no? Yeah. Yeah. There is another beautiful point which Vishnu Chakravarti writes, because in this verse it is explained, the analogy given is that anyway, I think this analogy comes in the next verse. This analogy is written in the purport in this verse, but its analogy is explained in the next verse. So we'll go to the next verse and then take that analogy. So this, the 11th verse describes the outstanding quality of their love. How they were in the stage of Anuraga and then they attained the stage of Mahabhava. Because of that they felt one moment to be one kalpa in separation and one kalpa to be one moment in union. The 12th verse.
तानाविदन्मै अनुसंगबद्ध दियस्वमात्मानमदस्ततेदं यता समादौ मुनयोप्नितो ये नद्य प्रविष्टा इव नामरूपे.
So this verse basically explains what happens to a person when a person experiences intense emotion, the stage of Mahabhava. Rudra Bhava, it's also equivalent to Mahabhava, another word for Mahabhava. What happens to a person in that stage? Basically, one forgets everything. One forgets everything. That's what is explained here. That Diyas Swam Atmanam, the mind, their minds bound by constant association with me, Anusanga Baddha, they were not aware of their bodies. They were not aware of their bodies, of this world or the next world. Swam Atmanam Adastatedam. Just as, then the third and fourth line explains the analogy. Just like Munayas, sages are not aware of the world, because when they are actually in the stage of Samadhi, it's like sages are not aware of this world. So similarly, that the gopis, because of being in the Mahabhava, they were not aware of their body, or they were not aware of this world or next world, anything. And one more analogy is given. Two analogies are given. One analogy in the third line and another analogy in the fourth line. Nadya Pravishta Iva Nama Rupe. Like when the rivers enter the ocean, then you cannot actually distinguish which river is this, etc. So similarly, that the gopis, because of their absorption in Krishna, they forgot their names and forms. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he writes a beautiful purport here. So first he says, their minds were, so Ujjwala Nilamani explains that when a person experiences the intense emotions, one forgets everything, even though one is not in a state of illusion. Even when a person is in the state of illusion, a person forgets everything. But here it is not the state of illusion actually. He says that their minds were bound to constant association with me, and by his amazing pastimes Krishna stunned all the three worlds, and by his constant association he bound up the gopis with great strength. The functions of their intelligence became like desire cows for fulfilling Krishna's desires, bound up by constant association, and they forgot even their own bodies. Like it's explained in the 10th canto, 29th chapter. So when the gopis actually, when Krishna played their flute and gopis came to meet Krishna, usually like when a woman goes to meet their beloved, they're very particular in dressing themselves properly. But here the gopis, they forgot to even dress themselves properly. They put the upper garment and the lower garment, and they would not, they forgot to put the ornaments, etc. In the sense that like they were so much absorbed in Krishna that they completely forgot to dress themselves properly. So they were not aware of this world or the next world, though they had transgressed dharma. And in comparing the gopis with the sages, in the case of the sages, when they were in samadhi, they also forget everything. But then the sages are meditating on impersonal Brahman. In the case of the sages, that the Brahman is not attracted towards the sages, only the sages are attracted towards the Brahman. But in the case of the gopis, Krishna is also attracted towards the gopis, who is their object of meditation. So therefore, when gopis being compared to the sages, you just have to take the analogy of how when they focused on Krishna, they forgot everything. We cannot extend the analogy. Like sometimes analogy is given to make a particular point, but you, like analogy is like a rubber band. When you pull it, then it will break. Cannot actually extend the analogy. So there is a great difference between the gopis attaining prema and the sages attaining nirvana, since their feelings of possessiveness are different. And another important point. Another Vishnu Chakotaku says that he's saying that like in this world, a person is more attached to the say husband or wife or father or mother or son than towards objects like moon. Moon gives cooling sun, cooling actually shines, but then person is more attached to one's own relations than with the moon. So because the happiness which a person gets from like from his near and dear ones is more than what a happiness gets from the moon. Therefore the possessiveness towards his relationships is more. Then he says, then what to speak of the bliss if one is unlimitedly possessive of Krishna, who gives unlimited bliss by his very nature and is decorated with all good qualities. He says, this possessiveness towards Krishna is the cause of the greatest bliss for the devotees. So he quotes a very beautiful verse. This is actually quoted by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasama Sindhu. Brahmanando bhavedyesha chet pararda gunikrita naiti bhakti sukam bodhe paramanu tulamapi. It means the bliss a person gets by Brahman realization. Bliss of Brahman realization accumulated by samadhi lasting for half of Brahma's life cannot compare to one drop of the ocean of the happiness of bhakti. So like that. It's the 12th verse, no? Yeah. We can go through the purport, the many beautiful points in the purport. So the ultimate, the especially we would say, the principle which we can learn from the gopis example is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjita. That whatever is favorable we accept, whatever is unfavorable we reject. That the gopis, they were so attached to Krishna that even when they found that the eyelids were unfavorable in actually taking darshan of Krishna, they curse even the eyelids, the creator of the eyelids. So in that sense, we can take the principle of rejecting the unfavorable thing. Just as rivers enter the ocean and do not know their name and form, the gopis did not know their names and forms. This comparison does not, like in the, when the rivers enter the ocean, rivers become one with the ocean. Their names are lost now, like cannot distinguish. But in the case of the gopis, you cannot take the other part of the analogy, that means like they become one with Krishna. This comparison does not illustrate about absolute non-difference of gopis from Brahman. So you have to take the one part of the analogy. So now in the 13th verse, Krishna is saying that the gopis attained me and they were not even aware of my greatness. He's explaining that. This is like the last in the series of verses in which he is glorifying the gopis.
Matkama ramanam jaram asvarupo vidopala brahma mam paramam prapu sangha chata sahasrashah.
All those hundreds of thousands of gopis understanding me to be their most charming lover and ardently desiring me in that way were unaware of my actual position, yet by intimately associating with me, the gopis attained me, the supreme absolute
truth. So, asvarupa vidha means like they attained me even without knowing my greatness. So, the acharyas give beautiful meaning of the word asvarupa vidha. They give four meanings. One meaning is that they did not know my greatness. Because they were not knowing my greatness, they experienced only my sweetness. And second meaning is that Aswarupam Vidha means the gopis did not attain Sarupya, Sarupya Mukti. Sarupya Mukti means getting form like Krishna, like getting a four-handed form in the Vaikuntha. So they did not attain Sarupya form similar to mine like other devotees. Because if they had attained Sarupya, then Krishna would not have been able to perform the rasa dance with the gopis. So Aswarupa Vidha means that they did not attain Sarupya Mukti. And third meaning of the word Aswarupa Vidha means they did not know the beauty of their forms. So he says, Hridayana Maharaj writes a beautiful point in the purport. He says that the most beautiful women in the entire material and the cosmic, the spiritual realm is actually the gopis. Usually, like when a person is actually beautiful, a person is very much conscious of his beauty. Like in this world, you can see that the psychology is that when a person is beautiful, a person is very much conscious of maintaining that beauty even with his one, some Miss Universe or somebody. So very, like, there was one grey hair which came, and then she never actually came out in public. Like, usually person is very much conscious of the beauty. So, but in the case of the gopis, they were the most beautiful women, but they did not know the beauty of their own forms because they experienced the beauty of Krishna's form. They were so much attached to Krishna. This is the third meaning of the word Aswarupa Vidha. These three meanings are given in the purport, and the fourth meaning is given by Vishnu Chakotakur. Fourth meaning means, Aswarupa Vidha means that gopis whose Swarupa no one knew. Nobody knew the position of the gopis, the Swarupa of the gopis. That is the fourth meaning of the word Aswarupa Vidha. So basically, we can see actually, like the next verse purport, Vishnu Chakotakur says that Krishna had kept the his love for the gopis, his appreciation of the gopis' love deep within his heart so far. For the first time, he is actually openly speaking to Uddhava about the position of the gopis. That the burning tears of love for the gopis, which were deeply suppressed in his heart, suddenly burst forth with his statement in verse 10, in which he indicated that the gopis had reached the highest level as devotees. To inspire Uddhava with that high level of pure bhakti, Krishna is speaking the 14th and 15th verse. We'll recite the 14th and 15th verse.
तस्मात्वं उद्धवोत्सृज्य चोदनां प्रतिचोदनां प्रवृत्तिं च निवृत्तिं च श्रोतव्यं श्रुतमेव च मामेकं एव शरणं आत्मानं सर्वदेहिनां याहि सर्वात्मभावेन मया स्याह्यकुतोपय.
Tasmatvam Uddhava Utsrujya. So he is saying that now you give up the duties and forbidden acts. He is saying that you give up both the path of karma and the path of jnana. Chodanam prati chodanam. Chodanam refers to the regulations of the Vedas and the injunctions of the supplementary Vedic literature. Prati chodanam. Pravrittimcha nivrittimcha. You give up both the path of karma and the path of renunciation. And shrotavyam shrutam evacha. You become indifferent to whatever you have heard and what is to be heard. That means like the sense that you become so many injunctions in the Vedic literatures, you might have heard about the path of karma, jnana, etc. You give up, become indifferent to everything. And so in the 14th verse he said like what he should give up, and then 15th verse he said like what he should follow. Mamekam eva sharanam. Surrender to me alone. Atmanam sarvadehinam, with the soul of all beings. And how? Yahi sarvatma bhavena, using all the methods with the bhava in your mind. And what will be the result? Akuto bhaya. You will be fearless by my mercy. Because when I become fearful that, oh, if I give up all these other things, maybe I may get some reaction, one may think like that. So Krishna is assuring, you will be fearless, akuto bhaya, by my mercy. So in the first part of the purport, Hridayan Maharaj tells like, whatever Krishna, he is giving a summary of what Krishna spoke so far in reply to Uddhava's question in the previous chapter. So Krishna has described three types of devotees: Karma Mishra Bhakta, Jnana Mishra Bhakta and Kevala Bhakta. So and by the respective association a person attains mixed or pure bhakti. And then he also explained how he is controlled only by pure bhakti. And then he said in the beginning of this chapter that he is controlled by the association of devotees. And after describing the devotees who associate with saintly devotees, Krishna praised the gopis as being the most rare, the highest. And then finally he is giving the instruction, after praising them, he is giving instruction to Uddhava, just take shelter of me alone and become indifferent to all the other processes and rules and regulations. So, Vishnu Chakotaku says that if you identify with those processes and thus fear sin, and continued samsara because of neglect of duties and jnana, I am here to deliver you from these two fears. Because you may be fearful that, oh, I am neglecting the process of karma or jnana, I may get some reaction. But don't worry, I am here to protect you from fear. That is the mood of Krishna here. So Vishnu, Hridayan Maharaj says, Krishna is clearly concluding that it is useless for Uddhava to waste time in fruitive activities or mental speculation. Actually, Krishna is hinting that Uddhava should assimilate the example of the gopis and try to advance further in Krishna consciousness by following in the footsteps of the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. He is concluding by saying one should simply follow the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. So now in the 16th verse, Uddhava is asking a question and then Krishna will speak like a philosophy in the rest of the chapter. Shri Uddhava Uvacha Samshaya Kshinvato Vacham Tava Yogeshwareshwara Na Nivartata Atmasto Yena Brahmyati Memanaha.
I have heard your words, but the doubt in my heart doesn't go away. Thus, my mind is bewildered.
So, Uddhava is saying, actually, my doubt has still not gone away. My mind is still bewildered. So, he is referring to, because the why he is still having a doubt is that, like, this is like similar to when Arjuna asked in the third chapter beginning, Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Matha Buddhir Janardana Tatkim Karmani Gore Mam Niyo Jayasi Keshava. Why are you actually wanting to engage me in this ghastly war? So tell me one thing for sure. Similarly, Uddhava is asking a question. There are very similarities between Uddhava Gita and Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita. So here, Vishnu Chakravarti is explaining why Uddhava is still having doubt. He is saying the previously, the 10th chapter beginning, the first verse Krishna spoke about how one should execute Varnashram Dharma along with devotional service. Krishna spoke about Karma Mishra Bhakti in 11.10.1. And then the 10.4, Krishna spoke about Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Jignasayam Sampravrutto, and a person is attached to knowledge. He spoke about Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And then the 11.11.18, Krishna spoke how one should actually, that Shabda Brahmani Nishnato, that was that. If a person does not have faith in me, although he may be studying the Vedas, it is useless, just like maintaining a cow which does not give milk. So, and then he spoke about devotional service in the 23rd verse. And then the 11th chapter, 25th verse, he spoke about satsangaya, that association of devotees. And then again, like in the last two verses, the previous two verses of this chapter, he spoke about rejecting jnana and karma. So, Arjuna, Uddhava is thinking that previously, once you told me about Karma Mishra Bhakti, the 10.1, and 10.4, he told me about how I should perform jnana and also bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. And later you told me about kevala bhakti. So now you are telling me to again reject karma and jnana. But then after some time you will again tell me you practice karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. So I am still confused. You tell me actually what I should do. Because once you told to practice Karma Mishra Bhakti and then Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and then you are telling me to reject now. So I am actually confused. That's what he says. So having received such elaborate and technical instruction on the perfection of life, Uddhava is bewildered and his mind is afflicted with a doubt about what he should do. He says, if I accept your decision now, in the future you may again go back to your original point and recommend again karma. Passes of Karma Mishra Bhakti. Again, you may go back to your original. So, one thing we can see is that Uddhava is boldly, in one sense, like Vishnu Chakravarti is saying, like, Krishna has spoken what is deep within his heart. But still Uddhava is boldly actually expressing his doubt that my doubts are not cleared. This shows his intimate friendship with Krishna. His boldly asking question, it indicates his intimate friendship with Krishna. So now we'll go through the rest of the verses a little fast. Just 10 pages. The rest of the verses are a little philosophical, but I'll mention the connection between the verses.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasuti Pranena Goshena Guham Pravishta Manomayam Sukshmam Upetya Rupam Matra Swaro Varnayite Svatavishta.
भगवान ने कहा है उद्धव, भगवान हर एक को जीवन प्रदान करते हैं और प्राण वायु तथा आदि ध्वनि नाद के समेत हृदय के भीतर स्थित है। भगवान को उनके सूक्ष्म रूप में हृदय के भीतर मन के द्वारा देखा जा सकता है, क्योंकि भगवान हर एक के मन को वश में रखते हैं, चाहे वह शिवजी जैसा महान देवता ही क्यों न हो। भगवान वेदों की ध्वनियों के रूप में जो ह्रस्व तथा दीर्घ स्वरों तथा विभिन्न स्वर विनय वाले व्यंजनों से बनी होती है, स्थूल रूप धारण करते हैं।
Appears a little complicated verse, but in essence, what Krishna says is here, the Uddhava's confusion is that because Krishna spoke about Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and then he spoke about Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti. So Uddhava is thinking that he is feeling in his heart that he is supposed to practice all these paths. Karma Mishra Bhakti also, Jnana Mishra Bhakti also, and Kevala Bhakti also. He is feeling that he is supposed to practice all these paths. But Krishna spoke all these paths for general living entities who cannot immediately come to the stage of Kevala Bhakti. They should actually go through this Karma Mishra Bhakti and Jnana Mishra Bhakti etc. But what Krishna wants from Uddhava is that he should only practice Kevala Bhakti. But Uddhava is confused because he is feeling that he is supposed to practice all these paths, which will be actually, it's not possible. Kevala Bhakti means rejecting karma and jnana. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti means you also accept the path of karma and jnana. So therefore Uddhava is confused. So my dear Uddhava, when I told you that analytic knowledge is to be practiced, pure pious duties are to be performed, devotional service is obligatory, I was instructing all living entities using you as my immediate audience. That which I have spoken, I am speaking now and will speak in the future, should be understood as guidance for all living entities in different situations. So Krishna is in one sense again speaking about the path of jnana from 17th to the end of this chapter. So Krishna is saying what I have spoken previously about the path of jnana and which I am speaking right now, the 17th verse, and which I will speak in the future, that is for the general living entities, but I am using you as an immediate audience. It is not meant for you. So that is actually the information what Krishna is telling in his heart.
Kevala Bhakti comprises of what?
Pure.
Kevala Bhakti means exactly what?
Kevala Bhakti means, as I mentioned, the definition of what I mentioned last time, that Anya Bilita Shunya. You remember that? What are the can anybody remember the five aspects of Kevala Bhakti? Uttama Bhakti and Kevala Bhakti both are same. You can say Uttama Bhakti or Kevala Bhakti or Shuddha Bhakti, all refer to the same pure devotional service. So what are the characteristics, primary and secondary? First is devotional service is only for Krishna, should be rendered in a favorable mood. And third is Anushilana, means by cultivating the footsteps of the previous acharyas and a personal spiritual master. These are the primary characteristics. The secondary characteristics, devoid of any other motive apart from the desire to please Krishna. And second is?
Yeah.
You should not be covered by jnana and karma. There is a, I did not discuss that verse, but there is a different anya abhilashita shunyam is used and jnana karma the anavritam is used. In the case of other desires, one should be devoid of all the desires. In the case of jnana and karma, you should not be covered by jnana and karma. So these five characteristics are the characteristics of kevala bhakti.
Right. Prabhupada says devotional service.
Hmm.
So service includes some part of this karma also. When
see,
we say devotional service, it means some...
So the path of karma means, path of karma, what I mean is that performing something with a desire to attain the, enjoy the fruits. So that is the main thing in the path of karma. In the path of jnana, a person is more interested in the knowledge, in knowing things than in service. That is in the path of jnana. So in devotional service, like we are also studying the books. Srimad Bhagavatam is directly devotional service. But even we are studying the book, sometimes we may be more interested in the knowledge than in the service. Then in that case our devotional service is covered by jnana. And when we are practicing bhakti with a desire to enjoy certain part of it, then to that extent is covered by karma. So like that. It's just a simple this one, there are more details to that. So these five, sometimes we, like maybe some other time we'll discuss, but sometimes we think that pure devotional service, we think, oh, it is meant, it can be practiced only by a very highly advanced devotee, one may think like. Actually, it's a very detailed explanation is given. Pure devotional service, when we talk about Shuddha Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti, it can be practiced even by a beginner. And as people think, Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service is only practiced by a person in the stage of Bhava or Prema, we may think like. No. Even when a person is having filled with anarthas, still Krishna has made a pure devotional service accessible even to a person who is filled with anarthas. So we will discuss some other time, but provided the person takes care that the anarthas do not cover his attitude. One may be having different anarthas, but if that anarthas do not cover his attitude, still a person can practice pure devotional service. So that the glory of Krishna is that he has made a pure devotional service accessible even to the beginner, even to a sadhaka. It is not that it is something meant for practice by somebody in advanced stage, like the stage of bhava or prema. So, if, when we talk about pure devotional service, there is five items. So, three primary and two secondary. So, in the case of ordinary devotional service, the three primary things are there. The secondary things may not be there. That means like a person may be practicing devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna and also for enjoying the fruits. Then it becomes the secondary characteristics, anya bilashita shunyam, that is not taken care of. So it is like, it does not come under the category of pure devotional service, but ordinary devotional service. But the secondary characteristics, they distinguish ordinary devotional service from pure devotional service. Jnana karmadi anavritam and anukulyena krishnanushilanam. Sorry, anyabhilasa shunyam. They distinguish ordinary devotional service from pure devotional service. In the case of ordinary devotional service, only the primary characteristics are satisfied, but not the secondary characteristics. In the case of pure devotional service, both primary and secondary, both are actually taken care of. So here, I'll just go through the verses. So here in this verse, what Krishna is saying here is that, like, I only give life to, he is again explaining the path of jnana. How by the path of jnana, a person can come out of the illusion. A person can detach himself from the material body and the material world by the analytical study of the difference between the matter and spirit. and how actually I am only all pervading. And then finally he will say, and then ultimately one should even give up that path of jnana. We discussed previously. Like as a path of jnana, a person takes the help of path of jnana in order to actually come out of the illusion of the bodily platform. But after coming out of that, one rejects even the path of jnana. So in this verse, what Krishna is saying is that I only give life to every living being. And it is said, there are different chakras within our body. Mooladhara chakra and Manipura chakra, etc. So it is said, the sound has four types. These four sounds, they come from different parts of the body. It is explained that So it is said, Krishna is saying, I make my appearance. So there is the different sounds are Pashyanti, Vaikari, and Para, and Madhyama. So it is, Krishna says, I enter the Adhara Chakra along with the Prana filled with a subtle sound called Para. I attain the subtle mental form called Pashyanti in the Manipura Chakra. So maybe I will discuss it maybe next week. But in essence, what Krishna says here is that I only give life to every living being, and then I am non-different from the Vedas. I only appear as the Vedas. Vedas are actually personification of me. The Supreme Lord also assumes a grass form at the various sounds of the Vedas, composed of short and long vowels and consonants of different intonations. So he says that he is speaking as in the third person. The Supreme Lord appears as the form of the Vedas. But of course, actually Krishna only appears as the form of the Vedas. And then in the next verse, in the 18th verse, Krishna says that how he becomes the branches of the way. In the previous verse, Krishna said that how he became the branches of the Vedas. In the 18th verse, Krishna says, he explains the gradual manifestation of the Vedas with an example. So just like fire is there within the wood, and you rub two wood with each other, and because of the friction, actually spark comes up. And then that spark, with the addition of fuel, that spark actually grows into a big flame. So gradually, initially when you rub, you feel little, the wood is becoming little warm. And then when you keep rubbing, then the spark comes. And then that spark actually becomes into a huge fire. So there is a gradually from warmth to spark to huge fire it goes. So similarly he says, by following the Vedas, a person gradually advances and gradually attains liberation. So that is what he explains in the 18th verse. It says, I become manifest in the sound vibration of the Vedas. That means, a person is following the Vedas, gradually a person ultimately comes to realize the Supreme Lord. So that is what he explains in the 18th verse. And the 19th verse, Krishna says that Krishna continues the description of his material manifestation. Evam gadi karma gatir visargo. So far he explained, in the 17th verse he explained that how he is the personification of the Vedas. In the 18th verse he said that how when a person practices the Vedas, a person gradually attains realization of him. Just like by rubbing of the wood, gradually fire comes out and becomes a blazing fire. The 19th verse he says that not only the Vedas are personification of me, in fact, everything you see in this world, speech or action, motion, excretion, smelling, tasting, seeing, all the activities and the different sense objects, they are all transformation of the three modes and they are my material manifestation. Everything is actually manifestation of my energy. Not just the Vedas, even the other actions and different sense objects, they are also actually my manifestation. So in this purport only, the four phases of speech are explained. Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama and Vaikari. The fourth is Vaikari, the speech in the vocal. What comes out from the vocal organ, that is the Vaikari. And the speech which comes from the navel and the intelligence in the heart and the prana in the base spine, they are called as like Para, Madhyama and Pashyanti. So there is from the base of the spine, the sound comes. That sound is called as Para. And from the navel, the sound which emanates from the navel is called as Pashyanti. And from the intelligence in the heart, the sound which comes is actually Madhyama. So the Vaikari is the fourth, the speech which comes from the vocal organ. So basically what Krishna explained in the 17th verse is that actually I am only the, all these different sounds are actually manifestation of my energy. So he explained only with respect to speech. Now in the 19th verse he is saying that in fact all the actions are only manifestation of my energy. And the 20th verse, Krishna gives an example to explain the 19th verse. The example, the 19th verse is explained how all these different actions, eating, sleeping, excreting, whatever, all the sense objects are manifestation of my energy. So one may get how from one source so many things can emanate. So he is giving an example from our day-to-day life, the 20th verse. He says that like from one soil, you may actually put so many seeds in a soil. From that one soil, all the different vegetables and everything come. So similarly, I am the only source from which actually all these different material manifestations come. So this is the exam analogy he gives in the 20th verse. An example of one object becoming many is described. It is like seeds which obtain a suitable womb. From one seed, or another part of the another analogy is that from one seed so many sprouts grow. Two analogies are like different way of translation. Like from the same soil so many different plants come, or is like from one seed so many sprouts grow. From one source so many things come. Similarly, from me as the source, so many material manifestations come. So that is the example given in the 20th verse. The 21st verse, so Krishna says that this universe which takes shelter of the Lord is not different from Him since it is the pastime of His Maya. I think I will stop here. From the 21st verse, we will take up next week. Try to rush through it. So, 21st verse will take next week. So, I think we'll not have the test today because today Bhagavatam class ended late. And next week we'll have the test on the test which you are supposed to have today. We'll have the test on the same thing next week. Email address. If you don't have time, you tell me because I need it by this week. Like that. Because we want to. Regarding the multiple choice questions, like some of you, if you are busy, right now, then I'll allot to somebody and let me know that whom I had alerted, which chapter had alerted.
Yeah, that is also, I think I took 9th chapter.
Okay, 9th chapter.
9th chapter, right.
6th chapter, huh? Which chapter I had?
Yes, you are not alerted.
So you can take 8th chapter. 8th chapter.
I
have sent an email.
Samalakas, you have read 8th chapter.
Yeah, that Mataji has taken 8th chapter, then you can take a 10th chapter.
By the end of this chapter, you want.
Uh-huh. 1 week, 10 days. You can type it and then send it.
10 days will be slightly difficult, so 15 days
will be difficult. It is not a... You try your best and start. 35 questions. You check the email. I mentioned like what is that how to make the chart.
So it should be both from perfect as well as perfect, or only from perfect.
डाउटफुल है इसके नहीं कह सकते
ऑनलाइन बकेट का फ्री कोर्स ऑनलाइन कोर्स यू वांट टू मेक मल्टीपल चॉइस क्वेश्चंस फॉर ईच चैप्टर सो यू वांट टू डू ओनली सेट द मल्टीपल चॉइस क्वेश्चन एंड फोर ऑप्शन एंड इफ यू हैव टाइम यू कैन टाइप इट इन द कंप्यूटर
Now you can assign to
different chapters and given to different devotees.
कुछ रिपेयरिंग काम चल रहा है अभी आके गया नहीं आप आता ये नहीं अभी आके गया
प्रसाद लेने बैठे तो कोई है भी नहीं लड़के अकेला वो एक दो जाने कितना काम करेंगे और सबको बारकोड लगाना
नारायण प्रभु को बताना
अरे बहुत अच्छा
ये नहीं लगता है ना
क्योंकि ये नहीं वो नहीं प्रभु नेक्स्ट संडे से पहले आने
पड़ते
सही बात है
10 मिनट में नारायण प्रभु आएंगे
बारकोड नहीं लगा हुआ प्रभु यहाँ लिखा तो है, आप बोलते हो नहीं है, बोलते प्राइस नहीं लिखा, ये क्या लिखा है? बारकोड मतलब क्या हुआ?
बारकोड वो कंप्यूटर में स्कैन करते हैं ना प्राइस, हाँ वो नहीं है बोलते।
क्योंकि ऑफर करके लेके नेक्स्ट संडे को आना पड़ेगा ना,
नेक्स्ट संडे को आना पड़ेगा
ना, तो कंटी माला नहीं है ये देखिए,
उसको भी बार कोड नहीं है, सब गड़बड़ है।
प्रभु जी आप ला रहे, बुक कौन
ला रहा है? माता
जी आई वांट दिस फोन, माता जी आई वांट कंटी माला भी।
अच्छा जो भी है पैसा बाद में देंगे ना, आप लेके जाओ।
प्रभु जी पैसा अभी लेके दे देता हूँ ना।
अरे छोड़ो ना यार, लेके जाओ, इसका बार कोड लग रहा है, अपने में बात हो गई कि आपको पैसा देना है, बात करो अंदर,
आपको मैं छोड़ नहीं देखा, मिल जाओ क्या?
एक और दो लोग, मैं पैसा देता हूँ, अगली बार लिख देते
पंच तत्व की फोटो होगी,
लिखा है थोड़ा प्राइस इसमें लिखा हुआ है पचास, तो भी आप
लिखा है ना,
अभी
बाहर को
क्या कर सकता
हूँ।
माता जी कुछ तो हेल्प करनी पड़ेगी ना, अभी इस पे लिखे 50 रुपीज मैं दे रहा हूँ, अब नेक्स्ट टाइम उसमें बिल बना देना। माता जी मेरे को भीड़ ये कट्टी माला चाहिए तो, और ये माता जी उसमें मोदी है
ठीक है, वो भी उन लोग को
उल्टा उनको नारायण प्रभु के पास जो चलेगा।
प्रॉब्लम है अभी आज से चालू हुआ है,
ये आज से चालू हुई ऐसा क्यों है? क्योंकि कंठी माला यही चाहिए, नहीं माता जी यही चाहिए,
ड्राइव करते हैं आप बैठ कर आने वाले हैं
राहुल जी, नेक्स्ट संडे आना पड़ेगा, अभी कंठी माला नहीं है चले, मैं यही बोलना है सोचा नहीं आऊँगा, कंठी माला से ऑफर करूँगा चला जाऊँगा।
अभी
उसने क्या वो दूसरी पर जो कच्ची माला में मोती है तो वो कहाँ पर देंगे? नेक्स्ट टाइम लेते हैं प्रभु, क्या करेंगे
टाइम करेंगे अभी कुछ कर नहीं सकते।
हरे कृष्ण करेंगे, माता जी को भी और आपको भी ठीक है, एवरीथिंग हैपन फॉर गुड। नहीं वो है बोलते हैं नहीं देते हैं,
नहीं देते
तो ठीक है, हरे कृष्ण।
Thank you.
आपकी तबीयत कैसी है? बीच में खराब थी
मन ने किया है। एक मिनट तो हो गया,
बंद करने का है ना, उनको आता है
तो ठीक है, कोई नहीं था ना। मैंने बोला
ये बटन दबा किससे होगा,
ओके सेविंग।